Morning.
Morning.
Lord, for his faithfulness, glad you're here this morning. Depending on him yet one more time, we share the word of God this morning. Desire it to be presented in the way that he would have it to be presented. So depending on him for that this morning. Appreciate the presence of each and every one this morning. Above all, we appreciate the presence of the Lord. Amen. Thinking about this time of year, and it really, as I think about it, it doesn't matter how many times that we can think about, that we can read, that we consider the story of Jesus' birth. I feel like there's always something maybe that we can find that maybe we hadn't thought about it a certain way, or maybe a certain meaning about it that just is new to us. And yeah, I'm thankful that that is the case. It just seems to be the case with God's word in general. Yeah. You know, you can read it, but then there's certain times when you read it and you just grasp a hold of something and it just does something special for you. Yeah, right. So we pray this morning that that would be that would take place as well. Before I get into the thought, I want to preface that with just something in a natural sense. When we think about when we hear someone's name, generally speaking, it brings maybe some feelings or thoughts to our mind. Think about some of us that are married, and we think about if somebody, if we hear somebody talking about maybe our spouse, whether they're saying something, hopefully they're saying something good, but you know, that brings certain things to our mind. It just, it brings, when we hear their name, I just think about, you know, oh, that's, yeah, wonderful, wonderful, I'm a wonderful spouse, it's just so kind and loving to him, it's just the perfect helpmate for me. So there are certain things that when you hear someone's name, it just brings things out, it brings things to your mind, and it causes you to feel maybe a certain way. Even in our families, right? You know, siblings. Many of us maybe have multiple siblings. Maybe we're closer to some of our siblings more than other ones. But when we hear our sibling's name, it brings certainly a closeness. We have a closeness. Maybe there's a special care. Maybe we have siblings that they just have a love and a care for us. Yeah. Always wondering about us, checking on us, making sure that we're doing well, and it just makes us feel a certain way, makes us feel appreciated. And maybe we're that to some of our siblings. Maybe when our siblings think about us, they think about, oh, they're always concerned about me, always calling to check on me. So there's certain things that it causes us to think about. Maybe even in some families. Maybe it's not in your family. Maybe you have some that only time you hear from them is when they need something. So when you hear their name, then it brings that to you. All right, what do they need this time? You know, I pray that's not the case, but you know, maybe there are some things like that where that's the thing that comes to your mind. Yes. You know, maybe there's some that we work with. When we hear their name, we think, yes, they're good, conscientious, responsible workers. They're always helpful to me. I appreciate having them as a co-worker. When their name is spoken, it makes you feel good. I'm glad that I know them, that I'm associated with them, that I have a relationship with them. And it just brings a certain feeling and a thought to us. We think about our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. When we hear different ones' names, you know, we think about, oh, that brother, that sister, they're so faithful. They're such an encouragement to me. They're such an inspiration to me. When we think about them, they just, oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to that brother, to that sister, that they're in our congregation. I appreciate them so much. It brings something to our minds, and it makes us feel a certain way. Even, you know, sometimes those people that are, we consider famous, right? Maybe you have a certain way that you feel about those kind of people when you hear their names. You know, maybe, however, your opinions or the thoughts that you have about them, it's formed maybe by things that you heard about them. Maybe you heard about someone that's just giving. They give things away. And it makes, when you hear their name, it makes you think a certain way. Or maybe you think, well, they're, you know. It just, the point being that there's something that's associated with a name.
Yeah.
And it means something. A name means something to us. So if you understand my point. So the thought this morning is all in a name. And that name this morning is Jesus.
Amen.
I know that a few weeks ago shared a message about in Jesus' name. This is somewhat related to that. But this is just a little bit different. By the help of the Lord this morning, we're going to do an acrostic on the name of Jesus. All right? I'd like to begin in the... See, they're all familiar Texas scriptures. These are scriptures that we have read and we've heard time and time and time again. But my prayer and my desire this morning is maybe there's something about the scripture that we read this morning that resonates with you in a special way this morning. Let's begin with Luke, the first chapter, and the 30th and the 31st verse.
And the angel said unto her.
And the angel said unto her.
Fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not, Mary.
Mary.
For thou hast found favor with God.
Thou hast found favor with God.
And behold.
Thou shalt conceive in thy womb.
And bring forth a son. And shall call his name Jesus.
Yes. Jesus. Yes. Jesus. So there's something that's going to take place. You're going to have a child, and his name shall be called Jesus. Do you take note in your Bible? Is that capitalized? It is, isn't it? The name of Jesus. There's something. That name means something. And by the help of the Lord this morning, we're going to talk about some of the things that name means. His name shall be called Jesus. Now, if you take note, these series of scriptures in Luke, this is the angel of the Lord talking to Mary, right? Okay. Now, let's go to Matthew, the first chapter, and read verses 20 and 21.
And while he thought on these things,
behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream,
saying,
Joseph,
thou son of David,
fear not
to take unto thee Mary thy wife,
for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son,
and thou shalt call his
name
Jesus,
for he shall save his people from their sins. All right, now we have two different accounts here. We have one account with the angel visiting with Mary, and then here in Matthew, we have an account of the angel visiting with Joseph. Now, we know that they were espoused to be married, and they were going to have a child. And I think about this even in families in a natural sense. Many times when there's couples that's going to have a child, there's some dialogue that takes place, isn't there? When it comes to, you know what, we're going to have a child, or we're going to have a son, or are we going to have a daughter? Now we have to come up with a name.
Yeah.
Right? And there's some, there's maybe some back and forth. You know, may, you know, a spouse or a husband say, well, I want the name to be this. And the wife say, well, I want the name to be that. And something has to take place, right, to have some kind of agreement.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, or maybe one will say, all right, okay, we'll name the child this. And then maybe the next child come along, and maybe the other spouse say, well, you got the name this one, so I'm going to name this one, right? So in other words, it's not something that's just automatic where the two will just perfectly agree on a name, right? Did you take note of what took place here? An angel visited with Mary, and an angel visited with Joseph.
Yes.
There was no dialogue that needed to take place. God took care of it. I have the name. I already have the name picked out. And this is what it's going to be. The name is going to be called Jesus. God took care of it. His name was given by the command of God. And he spoke and revealed it to both of them. So we're going to this morning, the J in Jesus is going to be for Jesus.
Amen.
Apologize if you can't see that, but that's the J is for Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. That just in itself is just wonderful. I will say this. If there would be a B for that J, you could also say Jehovah.
Yes.
Jehovah God, right?
Yes.
Jehovah is God. He's the I am. And you may recall several years ago, there was a Sunday school lesson, I believe it was in 2019, where one of the series was on the names of God.
Yeah.
So if you want to refer back to that, and we talk about what Jehovah means and all the names that are associated with that, you can get more insight from that. But this morning, the J is for Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. Amen. What about the E? Let's go to Matthew. We'll stay in Matthew. Let's continue reading verse 22 and 23. Matthew 1, picking up at verse 22 and 23.
Now all this was done. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet.
That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying,
Behold,
a virgin shall be with child,
and shall bring forth a son,
and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is
God with us.
God with us. So that E in Jesus is for Emmanuel.
Amen.
Now last year the Lord gave some thoughts about Emmanuel. So we're going to just touch briefly on some of that. This may be a reminder to you. But again, the scripture says Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with man. God in man. God in us. God our continual shield. He's our protection because he's right here with us. We have the influence of his spirit reigning with us on a daily basis. That's his desire for all of mankind, that he would have a say and an influence on everything that takes place in our lives, because he wants to be with us. My every thought, my every deed, my every action to be led by God, because his desire is to be with me. Every step of my, every day. You know, that's the privilege that each and every one of us has, to have Emmanuel with us on a daily basis.
Yeah.
when we have communion with Him on a daily basis, He'll be with us on a daily basis. Every life decision that, you know, I'm not saying that we have to consult, oh, what am I going to eat? You know, I'm not, that's being silly, right? But when we think about just depending on and having God with us and in our hearts every day of our lives. And what a blessed privilege that is that we can call upon Him. Sometimes we hear about on Wednesday night, just, I needed the Lord to bless. Our brother just talked about how the Lord, you know, he could have just suffered, right? He didn't know what happened to his wrist. He could have just suffered with the pain. But God is with him. God is his guide, his protection. I need some help. And what did God do? He came to his rescue. Thank the Lord. He's no respecter of persons. God can be with all of us. And He wants to be with us in every action of our life. To comfort us. To enlighten. To protect us. To defend us. To be with us when we have trials and temptations. Throughout our entire life, it's God's desire to be with us. That's the Emmanuel, God with us. He'll be with us in life. He'll be with us in death. And He'll be with us in eternity. We're just reading about that this morning in Sunday school, talking about Lazarus. God with him. Even in life, it seemed like maybe his life, he had a rough life. Sitting there and the rich man's begging at his table for some crumbs. God was still with him. Maybe didn't seem like he was, but God was with him. With him in the difficult times of his life. But then he was right there with him when he got in Abraham's bosom. Thank the Lord. And that's what God's desire is for each and every one of us. He wants to be with us. So when we speak the name of Jesus, that means God with us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. What about the S? Let's go to Isaiah. 9th chapter and the 6th verse. Let me go back. One more thing about God with us. Thinking about in the beginning when God created man.
Yep.
What did he do? Remember when he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground? He formed him and then he breathed into him the breath of life. Right? And then man became of a living soul. So God wanted, he wanted to be with us from the beginning. He put his breath in us. So there's something within all of God's creation. There's a need to be connected with God. Because from the beginning, he put his breath in us.
Right.
So when that connection is not there, something's missing.
Yes.
Yes. And God wants to fix that. If there's anybody today that God isn't with you, that can be fixed today.
Amen.
He's been there from the beginning.
That's right.
And he wants to remain with us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Isaiah 9.
For unto us a child is born.
For unto us a child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
Unto us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
His name shall be called Wonderful.
Counselor.
The Mighty God.
The Everlasting
Father.
The Prince of Peace.
So that S this morning is for son. S only. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. God Almighty set it up to send his son. You know, that was for our benefit, wasn't it?
Yes.
God created mankind, and it was his plan and desire for mankind to live in harmony with him, to remain in harmony with him. But mankind messed that up. Aren't you so glad that God had a backup plan?
Yeah.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he had a backup plan for me and for you. Amen. That he said, you know, I set it up this way, but I have something there. I'm going to send my son down. I'm going to send my son.
Amen.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
Yes.
He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You may have noticed in some of the verses that we've already read, we've heard this word son over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So if you take note, go back to Luke when we started in Luke, right? So Luke 1 and 31 says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus."
Yes.
Right? And then in Matthew 1 and 21, it says, "Shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." And then when we were talking about Emmanuel, God with us, in the 22nd verse of Matthew, 23rd verse of the first chapter of Matthew, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son." Right? "And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." So this is repeated over and over and over and over again. We think about that. Son, a son is born. A son. Think about all of the children in the world. All of the sons in the world. What do they have? Every son. What does every son have? A father, right? Whether that father is present or not, whether that father is active or not, every son has a father.
Amen.
We're talking about the Son of God.
Praise the Lord.
The Son of Almighty God. And what's one of the most familiar scriptures in the Bible? John 3 and 16. I mean, we don't even have to go to it, right? We could all just say it together without even going there. For what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the S in Jesus is Jesus being the Son of God. God sending his Son Jesus to live in this world and to die for my benefit and for yours. That God Almighty was willing, and that Jesus the Son was willing to come. You know how, even think back to, remember Abraham and Isaac? You're talking about a father having to sacrifice his son? That's not easy. You can read through that in the Old Testament and recognize everything that Abraham went through getting to that place where he completely surrendered that to God. And God had a plan, though.
Amen.
But God Almighty sent his son for me, and he sent his son for you. I'm so thankful that he did.
Yes.
Amen. I appreciate that. The Son of God, Jesus. So that S is for Son. The U. I'm going to say the U this morning is for unexplainable. And we're going to read some scriptures to reinforce that. Unexplainable means incapable of being explained or give a reason or a cause for, except for one thing. That definition doesn't talk about faith. See, Faith takes care of something that's unexplained.
That's right.
Right? And we'll get into this a little bit. But the U is for unexplainable. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter again, and we'll begin at the 28th verse. We're going to read the account when the angel visited with Mary. So Luke 1, 28, I'm going to read down through verse 38. It says, the angel came unto her
and said,
Hail,
thou art
highly favored.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou
among women.
And when she saw him,
she was troubled at his saying,
and cast in her mind
what manner of salutation this should be.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary,
for thou hast found favor with God.
And behold,
thou shalt conceive in thy womb,
and bring forth a son,
and shall call his name Jesus.
He shall be great,
and shall be called the Son of the Highest.
And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David,
and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever,
and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Then said Mary unto the angel,
How shall this be?
Seeing I know not a man.
And the angel answered and said unto her,
The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee,
and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee,
therefore also the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
And behold,
thy cousin Elizabeth,
she's also conceived in her old age,
and this is the sixth month with her,
who was called barren.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
And Mary said,
Behold,
the handmaid of the Lord,
be it unto me according to thy word.
And the angel departed from her.
We're talking about something that is unexplainable.
Right?
Even to Mary. Here the angel is visiting with her, and the angel's letting her know this is what's going to take place. And by the help of the Lord, we'll try to do this tactfully, but could you imagine the conversation maybe that Mary was having with the angel? I know where I've been. I know what kind of activities that I'm involved with. I know what kind of individual I am. Tell me how this can be, because that hasn't happened.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm just getting serious here. Imagine that kind of conversation. Hold up. Time out now. I know. Where I've been and what I've been doing now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. What's going to happen? There's some faith had to be involved here, right?
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine what would happen if she didn't have faith? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And we're not even talking about the kind of repercussions, you know, with that kind of, at that point in time, in the world, right? With something like that took place, that was not a good place to be in.
That's right. True.
So it took some faith.
Yes.
You talk about something that's unexplainable, the equation changes when God comes in.
That's right.
And when our faith takes hold of what God said in His Word.
Amen.
Take note of something that she said. She said, be it unto thee, be it unto me, according to thy word. That's something that I can claim. Right now, I can say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Let my faith take hold. This situation looks unexplainable. I don't see how it's going to work out. But with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Right? You could imagine that she heard about Abraham and Sarah, right? That had to be somewhere in her mind. This kind of sounds familiar. I mean, at least in that, it was somewhat similar, but a little bit different, right? Because she had a husband. She was just up in age. She was very seasoned, right? And it's like, wait a minute. What? So this is like taking that to a whole nother level now, right? Be it unto me according to thy word.
Yes.
I can't explain it, but Lord, I'm a willing vessel.
Amen.
With God, nothing shall be impossible. Do we believe what God says? That's on us, right?
Yes.
What God gave us in His Word, He said it. God's Word is true, always has been, and always will be.
Amen.
And He's a God that cannot lie.
Amen.
And He's proven Himself time and time and time again. Where the failure is in me, in my faith and in my trust and my confidence in Him. You know, in this situation, we get two perspectives. Because the angel came to Mary, but the angel also came to Joseph. Let's read about that encounter. We'll pick up in Matthew, the first chapter, starting at verse 18. Going to read through verse 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise.
When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph,
before they came together,
she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Then Joseph, her husband,
being a just man,
and not willing to make her
a public example,
was minded to put her away privately.
But while he thought on these things,
behold, the angel of the Lord appeared
unto him in a dream,
saying,
Joseph,
thou son of David,
fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife,
for that which is
conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
And she shall bring forth a son,
and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel,
shall call his name Jesus,
and he shall save his people from their sins.
Now all this was done
that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying,
Behold, a virgin shall be with child
and shall bring forth a son,
and they shall call his name Emmanuel,
which being interpreted is God with us.
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep,
did as the angel of the Lord bidden him,
and took unto him his wife,
and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son,
and he called his name Jesus.
So we get the other side now. We get Joseph's perspective. Now, you know, he's a spouse to Mary, and now he's getting word somehow that she's with child of the whole. I don't know how he found out, but somehow the information got to him that the one that you betrothed to is with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, put yourself in his position now. Like, wait, hold on. You talk about something unexplainable, right? Wait a minute. Again, you know, he say, I know where I've been. I know what I've done. And what's going on here? So think about what's starting to go on in his mind. He starts having some thoughts here. Now, wait a minute. I'm betrothed to this woman now that's with child. What am I going to do now? So he starts, the wheels start spinning in his mind. Okay, how can I take care of this situation and not bring a lot of shame and embarrassment upon her and upon myself, and we just kind of take care of this whole situation? So he starts thinking in his, okay, I think I know. I'll just kind of put her away privately somewhere and break off this engagement, and then we'll just kind of go our separate ways, and then everything will be all right. Oh, but then the angel of the Lord, see, came and paid him a visit, right? As we read here, and let him know, Joseph, you don't have to be afraid. He said, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Joseph, thou son of David, you don't have to be afraid to take Mary, thy wife. It's the confirmation that you needed. That child that's in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Go on and take her. Carry on with this marriage. Just keep going with it. Everything is going to be all right. That took something from him as well, right?
Yes.
He had to have some faith that, like, this doesn't make sense here. I need to do what? But again, he was willing. And he was encouraged. The visit from the angel gave him the assurance to know that he could just carry on with this. And it says when he'd been raised from sleep, the angel, he went and did what the angel bid him. He surrendered his, whatever the troubles that he was having in his mind with this unexplainable situation, he gave them to God and said, I'm going to follow the direction of what you told me to do. You know, that took both of them. If there was any unbelief or doubt in Mary, or any unbelief or doubt in Joseph, this whole thing gets put in. It's not going to be a good situation now. So they had to believe. They had to take hold of the word that was given to them by the angel. This is an impossible situation. This is a lose-lose situation. But that changes when God enters the picture. When we follow his leadings and his guidings and his directings, those things that seem unexplainable, those things that seem impossible, it changes when God enters in. God has proven himself time and time and time and time and time again.
Amen.
When we look at our lives and maybe the different trials and tests that we face in the situations of our life, when the enemy comes along and tries to say, see, your case is different. This is completely out of the reach and the realm of God. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
There's nothing that is impossible with God. God can reach whatever the situation is.
Amen.
and he can make it unexplainable where you can just say, it's only but God. That's the only way you can explain it. God Almighty, the creator of the world. He had a, Joseph, he had a choice to make, didn't he?
Yeah.
Ultimately, he had the final choice. And his choice was to surrender to the will and the way of God. This last S is going to be for Savior. We're going to refer back to Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. It says, for unto you, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government and his name shall be, the government shall be on his shoulders.
Yeah.
He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. How can one person be all that? We're talking about the Savior of the world. Right? The Savior of the world can be all that bundled up in one. And then let's go to Luke 2, verses 8 through 11.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo,
the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them,
and they were sore afraid.
When the angel said unto them,
fear not,
for behold,
I bring you good tidings of great joy,
which shall be to all people.
For
unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior,
which is
Christ the Lord. Came and appeared to the shepherds. Can you imagine that scene as they're there just in the field at night, no doubt trying to wind down, maybe get a little bit of sleep, and the day's over, their work is done, and I'm just resting, and I'll be ready for the next day. And then here's some angel, the light shone, and you could imagine maybe the shock and the fear. What's going on here? What's happening? I got a special message for you. There's a special, you know, shepherds were ones maybe that were considered kind of lowly.
Yeah.
Right? That didn't have much importance. They took care of the animals, right?
Yeah.
But here they got a special visit.
Yeah.
Letting them know that a Savior is born.
Amen.
Today. The angel came and the glory of the Lord shone right. You can imagine the light that shone. Maybe some that weren't even there in the area, maybe looking on like, what's going on over there? You know, maybe sometimes you see it dark and you see some commotion somewhere else and you kind of wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
I could imagine those that were looking on from afar. Something's going on over there. Something's happening. I got to find out what's going on here.
Yeah.
The glory of the Lord come down and visit with them.
Amen.
Then I got some good news for you today. Good tidings of great joy. Not just for you. For all people.
Amen.
For all people. Even today. God wants to be a Savior to all people.
That's right. Thank the Lord.
There's nobody that's exempt. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Lord. All that in the name. Jesus. When we talk about Jesus, that encompasses all that and so much more. So much more. My encouragement to each of us today, if you're not acquainted with this Jesus, my encouragement to you this morning is to get acquainted with him.
Yeah.
And if you are acquainted with him, stay acquainted. Because he's going to be with he's our everything. We said, he's everything to me. He's all of this and so much more. Get to know Jesus and all that's in his name. I appreciate your prayers and your attention this morning.